This evening we focus our attention on our epistle and our gospel readings, where we hear that God casts out demons and his hand is more powerful than ours. You may be seated. Over these past 2 weeks, we've heard a number of different things about the hand of the Lord. On Ash Wednesday, we heard about the hand of the Lord that freely gives, and especially freely gives forgiveness when we repent of our sins and we turn back towards him. And then last week, we heard about the hand of the Lord who creates and who saves all who believe in him. And now in our readings for this evening, we hear about the mighty hand of the Lord. This is the mighty hand that has come to defeat Satan and free people from his grasp. By the might of our own hands, none of us has that kind of power. But in the first part of our gospel from Luke this evening, we have this desperate father who comes to Jesus pleading on behalf of his demon-possessed son. This demon had taken hold of his son, had convulsed him, and would not leave from him. Jesus' own disciples tried to cast out the demon, but they had no power over it. The demon even threw the boy to the ground just at the presence of Jesus. But all Jesus needed to do was to rebuke that demon with a simple word, and it left the boy. He healed him. He lifted him up, and then he gave him back to his father. The disciples, in contrast to that, by their own hands, were no match for that demon. As Jesus told them in Matthew's version of this account, their hands were best suited not for casting out demons, but they were best suited for taking the position of prayer. Later, Jesus would send out the 72 with the authority to do many things, and they were able to do those things. And one of the things that they had the authority to do was even to cast out demons. And when they returned to Jesus, they marveled at what had been done through them. Not what had been done by them, but what had been done by God through them. And even if they were giving credit to God alone, Jesus still wanted to remind them not to lose sight of what's most important. And what's most important for those disciples and for all of us is that our names are written in the book of life. And for those disciples taking their eyes off of God's work and making it seem like it was their own would always open up the door for pride, as it does for us as well. And what do we know about pride? Probably the first thing that comes to your mind is that verse from Proverbs, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." The devil's power is not to be trifled with. Their casting out of demons only comes by the hand of God. It was the only way that those disciples could do it. It was the only way that it was done in our gospel reading for today. And it's the only way that it can be done today. And the devil does work today. Working very hard, in fact. So when Jesus comes, and when he does more than any mere human being could do, you would think that all of that would be welcomed by all of the people. But the fact is that it was quite the opposite of that. The people there accuse him of casting out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. But it's absolutely ridiculous to say that Satan would cast out demons by cast out demons who are his own demonic forces. As a principle, a house divided against itself cannot stand. That's what we heard Jesus say. Jesus himself says that here, and he says it in other places as well. The house, the family, must be united, not divided. But rather, the religious leaders were threatened by Jesus' power and his authority. They were so deceived by Satan's power that they couldn't see freedom from his captivity when it was happening right there before their eyes. Freedom from the captivity of Satan's bondage and the bondage of sin from which Jesus was setting them free was right there, and they refused to see it. Sadly, the reality of Satan's power is in his great deception to hold people captive. And he's done it ever since the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve listened to the crafty voice of that serpent instead of God himself. And as a result, we've suffered the consequences ever since. And those consequences are these, that we want to be our own gods, to have it our own way, to take everything into our own hands. And that's not power. As much as we delude ourselves, the reality is that that's the greatest kind of captivity. It's to put ourselves under the tempter's power and thereby receive the tempter's fate, which is eternal condemnation. God did not create hell for human beings. He created it for Satan and his fallen angels. If God truly and only let us have it our way, and let us take everything into our own hands, we would find ourselves in the greatest captivity. We cannot break free from that captivity to sin and death and the devil. Not by any might of our own, not by our own hands. In that captivity, we are trapped. Jesus, at the end of our gospel reading, likens Satan to a strong man. He says that no one around can match his strength, and by his might he keeps hold of all of his possessions. We cannot escape by our own might. No mere human being is strong enough to defeat this strong man. The devil's house and kingdom are terrifyingly too strong for us. That is, though, until they come up against the finger of God. Did you catch that phrase there in our gospel reading? It's an interesting one. In the Old Testament, the finger of God was used as a way to describe God's creation, his work in creation. I'm sure you've seen that beautiful work by Michelangelo on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Maybe not in person. Not many of you have probably been to Rome. I haven't myself either, but there's plenty of pictures of it around. That beautiful work by Michelangelo on the ceiling there of the Sistine Chapel, God's hand reaching down, but not just his hand, his finger pointing out, and Adam's finger coming back from the other side. It's called the creation of Adam, and it reminds us that it was just simply God's finger that was powerful enough to create all things. It's also that phrase, the finger of God, used to describe how God inscribed his commandments on those tablets of stone when he gave them to Moses. In other words, the finger of God is his word. It's used to inscribe his word, his very law, on those tablets. And by his word, he created everything. By his word, he gave the law to Moses. And Jesus himself is the word of God. And at Jesus' word, those demons shuddered and they fled. Jesus is the finger of God. And it takes only the finger of God. Not even his whole hand does he need, just his finger for Satan's kingdom of tyranny to come crashing down like a house of cards. Unlike Adam and Eve, Jesus did not succumb to the devil's temptation in the wilderness. He has overpowered the strong man in order to plunder his house. That's what Jesus said it would take. Someone stronger than the strong man himself to be able to take his things. And that's what Jesus has done. He's gained the upper hand on the devil in order to rescue us out from under his tyranny. This is just what God did in Christ when he came casting out demons. Because the devil is no match for the Son of God. And he's done it all by the finger of God. By going to the cross, Christ defeated sin, death, and the devil for you. And in Christ Jesus, you are forgiven and given eternal life. The devil's power and his hold on you have been defeated. His accusations over you hold no weight. Christ has fulfilled that promise that we heard there in Genesis 3:15. He crushed the serpent's head under his foot. Jesus has taken you from Satan's grip of despair and placed you under the mighty hand of God. You have the one who is stronger than the strong man. You can cast all of your anxieties, all of your cares on Christ, and he will protect you. And no one else can snatch you out of his hand. Peter tells us, indeed, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And we need to be careful of him because we know that getting too close is extremely dangerous. But we also need to know that he is bound. His time is short because he has already been defeated. And you are under the mighty hand of God. The devil cannot harm you because the Lord has a hold of you. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him. I'm sure you all recognize those words, the famous words from Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress. Believe them. They're true. Just the finger of God will knock the devil down. And that gives us the confidence today and every single day to cast all of our anxieties and our cares on him. By the finger of God, Jesus has defeated the strong man. And he has plundered his goods in order to rescue us and place us under the mighty and protective hand of God. And that's the most comforting place that we could possibly be. Whether it's the wind and the rain that I can still hear howling outside, whether it's that possible snow that hopefully you won't have to be driving home in tonight, or maybe it's that surgeon's scalpel that some endured even today, and others maybe are having in the future. Maybe it's the skepticism and the taunting of the people around you for what you believe in. Or anything else that might cause you to doubt God's love and his full control over your life. In all of those times and in all of the other things that could cause you to take your eyes and your mind and your heart off of him, remember that his hand is upon you. His hands surround you, and His hands will lift you up and protect you from everything that this world and the devil may throw at you. The hand of the Lord is the safest and most comforting place that you can be. Amen.